The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. Hello and welcome to the latest live episode of Wrestling with Jonas, episode 358. Got an awesome interview, a couple of awesome guests for a Thursday evening. None other than Lou on the left there, Shotty on the right, the guys from Solve Pro. Guys, how are you doing? And thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having us on. So, honored to be honest.
Yeah, pleasure. Long time viewer, listener, a pleasure. Absolute pleasure. So, thanks for having us on.
No, you're very welcome. And over the next hour 15, however long we go, we're going to be speaking to Lou and Shotty all about the journey they've been on with Solve Pro. We're going to do a full preview of their next show taking place Bank Holiday Monday, May the 6th, and all that good stuff. But if you're watching live at home on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook or X, get in touch with the show. We are fielding your questions and your comments, so please send them through to us using your chosen device. Guys, we are all kind of gearing ourselves up for this. This is your next show, False Idols, Bank Holiday Monday the 6th of May there. First of all, straight off the bat, give us a bit of insight into the name of the show, False Idols. Quite an interesting name for a wrestling show. What's the thought and the thought process behind that then, guys?
Do you want to hit that?
Yeah, I think we try and find things that are a little bit different to what everyone else is doing anyway. And I think with the way things are built up, there's, you know, people are on a pedestal within the company. You know, Connors is the top guy on the company right now. He's the face on the poster. He's the guy that everyone's looking to. He's the champion. There's people thinking, you know, he's sneaked a few of the matches. You know, he's had a good run as a champ, but he's sneaked a few of the matches. And I think there's people thinking, you know, could I be a better champion? People looking up. And yeah, a little bit of envy there, and that's kind of crept into the name, I think, just symbolizing, you know, the views of the people that are looking up towards Connors there.
I think even like the general feeling of wrestling and Solve Pro and all that is to just be the top, be the one everybody idolizes, be the number one in the game, and if anybody else is in your position or opposing that, you view them as false idols. They shouldn't be there. So And then Elliot just smashed it with the artwork anyway. So
just that Elliot's the top guy. We're going to take more of a deep dive with Lou and Shotty. But just a quick reminder, some of my recent guests, and don't forget to hit that like, follow and subscribe button. Eddie Dennis joined me, I think in March now, a few weeks ago, but a really top guest. We took a real deep dive into Eddie's career. Millie McKenzie joined me also just a few weeks ago, including the brand new Progress World Heavyweight Champion Kid Lykos joined me just a few weeks ago. And my most recent live guest just last week, Flash Morgan Webster. Go and check all of those out on whatever audio platform you listen to us on, or of course YouTube. And I've got three interviews, not one, not two, but three interviews next week, starting on Monday with the start of the E4 reality series, The Underdog, Josh Must Win. Josh Folds is going to be joining me Monday the 22nd at 8 p.m. live. 2 days later on Wednesday, Joe Blazer, fresh off of his tour of Philly over in the States. Joe will be joining me next Wednesday live, 8 o'clock, and on the Friday to wrap up the month of April and to wrap up next week. Very, very busy week. The Kid Without Fear, Danny Black, will be joining me live on Wrestling with Jonas. But guys, I've got to ask you, it's been, I think, just over a year and a half since your first show, October 2022. So that's about 17 months, I make it. But tell us a bit about the journey, that you've been on in a nutshell, and kind of where's your kind of head at? Where your mind at when you kind of think back to the last year and a half or so with Solve Pro?
It's mad because it just starts out where I guess anyone starts out is like, what would happen if we make like a wrestling company? And it, like, it's something that we've loved our whole life. Like, you know, not just in like a sane version as well. Like super crazy fanatics about it our whole life. Everyone had the dream to be the wrestler and stuff, but our knees don't work the way they used to do. So, you know, we eventually just thought, you know what, we need to get into the business somehow. the ducks was aligned, the stars aligned, everything worked out, and it just happened. And then, like you say, it's a year and a half already. Like, can't believe it. Strength to strength. And we did do the first show, or when we first initially started talking about First Rain, the idea was to just do one show and see how it went. But we'd already decided in the lead up to that first show, like, now we're sticking about, we want to be a part of this amazing scene that's going on and stuff like that. So it's still crazy though to have done stuff like with Josh Alexander and the Impact title and stuff on our second show. Like, so there's still loads of stuff that we look back and it's like, it's a blur. We feel like we've been here for years, but we are, you know, very young still, very little.
Yeah. Let me ask you, show number one, October 2022. I'm going to bring up some graphics here. There's the show poster, one of the show posters, some of the individuals that are involved, and the card itself, but absolutely stacked. I've got to say, when new promotions usually come onto the scene, they normally kind of take it steady, use local talents, and kind of find their feet. You guys went straight in there and kind of made a mark for yourself. You kind of sent out a statement. Was that always the intention, to make a statement and to use, you know, top UK stars and international stars from your very first show?
Yeah, just because, you know, we feel like we've had relationships with people within the UK scene. We've always kept our eye on it. Like I say, we're fans of that. But we're fanatical about stuff. We've said it in so many interviews. Me and him come from TEW, EWR games. We're not ashamed to say that. We was playing them games. And, you know, hunting for the best is like one of the best, one of the most fun parts of this. So we pride ourselves on using the people that should be being used and don't get used enough, that we know have super bright futures and we'll be able to do some amazing stuff when we collaborate with them. And so at the time, it was, you know, we, you know, the likes of Mariah May, Ali Hudson, Joey, Joseph Connors, CPF, all of these people we've been watching as fans and admirers of what they do. And yeah, so as soon as it come time, we had a list, and it was so hard because there were so many people on the list that we couldn't use, which is why we was like, nah, we're sticking around. But we did, we wanted to have that dynamic of super interesting characters that the people are going to want to see, you know, good in-ring stuff, but just straight away laying the foundation of storytelling. It had to be storytelling from day one. So with that in mind, we looked at the types of characters, people that are going to be able to tell the stories we want to tell. I think we've got a great little group and stuck with them as well.
Yeah, and I think another part of it is, you say companies come in and they'll work with the local talent and things, but you're in a company in an area where those particular, there's a lot of companies in the Northwest, even within Manchester as well, that are using those same pools of talent. Mm-hmm. And it's great, talented people, love them, works with a fair few of them. But I think something that would just set us apart a little bit was being able to offer matches that you don't usually see in this circuit, like bringing up the 8-7 from down south, for example, and not a team that usually work the Northwest circuit too much. So it just let us offer a few different match combinations, things that hadn't really sort of been seen on the Northwest scene.
Let me ask you, for anybody that's not too familiar with Solve Pro, for anybody that's not too familiar with, you know, you guys and what you do in the Northwest, how would you describe Solve Pro to anybody that's new to you guys or watching or hearing from you for the first time? Have you got a particular style or a particular character within the wrestling business?
It's the Les Barters Vieira.
This is most definitely.
It's the Les Barters Vieira, definitely. Yeah. Nah, I think we're very story driven. You know, that's where we want to take stuff, and a lot of the stuff in the country, and rightly so, is work rate based, and we love work rate, we love all that, we love their matches, but we're very story driven, we're very character based.
We're kind of children of the Attitude Era, really. That's where we grew up on wrestling, and obviously take the elements of that made it exciting, but then translate those to a modern era, modern sensibilities, leave the things in the past that deserve to stay in the past, and just bring the best things through. And I think that's kind of the way we try and sort of present ourselves, the positive aspects of the Attitude Era.
And we're defined by the fans, the viewers as well. Like, we, you know, the sovereign nation, that's, you know, they're an extension of us. We always wanted to make something similar to what Heyman had in Philly with ECW and stuff, like, where it's a community, do you know what I mean? Like, everyone's, we know a lot of the fans, and we met them through Sov Pro, and we got like a lot of really close friends through this, and you see the community grow, and there's a connection with Sov Pro and the people that, like, that was the dream the whole time, just to make this small company full of different characters doing the most amazing shit, and then just, like, you know, the fans taking it in the way they are doing and feel it and being a part of what we are. So
tell us about some of them early conversations about starting the group, starting Sovereign Pro, and kind of how did it all begin?
Yes.
That depends what you want to pick as your start point. I mean, this is something that's been going in various formats, I guess, we've known each other for over 20 years. So yeah, various points across that, there's been iterations of what's gone on to become Sov Pro. I think as it came around this time, it was early 2022, January, start of January, wasn't it? It was kind of the new year. I think a few people have been talking. It's always that case of wrestling's very subjective. You have your idea of what you want to see, and there's a lot of great stuff that was out there on the independent scene and on a larger scale as well, the bigger companies. And nothing was just quite exactly what we were looking for.
Yeah.
So the discussion kind of turned to, well, why don't we make what we're looking for? Because there's other people looking for that as well. So I think initially, if you look at Sov Pro as the Avengers, Shotty was kind of the Nick Fury of it. He's the kind of the central figure that's kind of reached out to a bunch of different people, different fields, different areas. And I think the initial group chat that we had for Sov Pro was 30, 40 people,
and everyone was kind of strangers, bar knowing me. I was like the middleman. I just knew everybody I knew that had a passion for pro wrestling and wanted to be in it, like getting involved in it, and then could contribute something to it. Then that's what I was going to try and do. I wanted to make a movement that was like allocentric in a way where if we all put 20% in, we all get 80% returns, and you don't have to stress out over this thing. You don't have to, you know, you put in what you do, forget the money that goes back into the industry, and we just have a fun, creative outlet. But yeah, little did I know, it wasn't going to be like that. It was just going to be like, no, snowball, boom, 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 boom. This crazy thing. But yeah, I essentially knew everybody through different walks of life. Like Sean, I grew up with Sean. He's one of the co-owners. Zuby, FaZe, all these different people. Skillet, Callie. And it was essentially, yeah, I just whacked everybody into a WhatsApp group chat. And we knew, we was like, right, after a few weeks or a month or whatever, whoever we're left in this group chat with, who wasn't left by then, that's the team. And then that's it. But then since then, we just added so many more new people who the company wouldn't be doing anything anywhere near as good as it is without them. So shout out to all them.
Yeah. Do you feel that they all contribute something different to what you present with Sov Pro?
Yeah. Massive,
100%. I think it's always a case with us of it's some of greater than some of its parts. Like everyone brings their own little bits together. It's kind of Captain Planet. Everyone combines their own little elements, and we create this big mystical thing that comes out at the end. And it's none of it works without each person putting their own little bit of input in.
That's it.
Everyone has their own strengths, weaknesses, what they bring to the table. And it's a good sort of, it's a unique team. A lot of people that weren't in the wrestling business before. Yeah. Well, I think that's helped being able to bring a bit of a fresh perspective as well. But it's people that just work really well to create something that's, you know, bigger than any of us could do on our own.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's like, because I come from the entertainment business. I've had major record deals. I've done the stuff with the battles and stuff like that. So that the relationships I'd accumulated through that journey, it was just it was perfect. It literally, the stars had aligned and it was perfect. It was like, right, I know these my set of friends here are a camera crew, and they'll do also good rate. And then set of friends here do this, and boys got the venue. It was just perfect. It was like, if we just all throw our assets in, we're a wrestling company, and everyone was like, yeah, let's do it. So it was really that from there, then, innit? But then all of a sudden, it's alive then. It's a living thing, and it's this little living universe. And you're like, well, what if he comes back and does this to him? And then what if that does this? And then all of a sudden,
yeah.
We're dreaming.
Before we went live, guys, there was quite a bit of interest about the name of the promotion, Sovereign Pro Wrestling. Tell us a bit about the inspiration behind the name, if it has any special meaning to you. Yeah, tell us a bit about the name of the group.
So, Sovereign, so it's a few different things. Like, when I was like 13 or whatever, like in 2000, I was like, right, I'm going to be a wrestling promoter. A lot of people fell in love with the pro wrestlers and wanted to be the pro wrestler and all this kind of stuff. To me, my guy is this guy, Paul Heyman. Ever since I was a kid, yeah, like, idol. So I wanted to be Paul Heyman. So from year 2000, I had this company, SPW, which, you know, Sovereign Pro Wrestling, but it wasn't Sovereign back then. It was another word, which isn't, it's a swear word, we won't say it. But yeah, we had this company that we wanted to, I remember I was like 13 and I emailed Steve Corino. I emailed everybody on the ECW roster. And the one person that got back to me was Steve Corino. And this was, I think he was either the world champ or he just dropped the belt. And then he just said, I was like, yo, this whole fucking spiel about, yo, I'm going to run a wrestling company, I'm this, I'm that, and da-da-da. Because I'd heard Heyman's stories about how he bullshitted his way in. So I'm just bullshitting my way in. And sending this whole live story, and he just sends back $2,000. I'm like, boom, I've got Steve Corino. I print this email off multiple times. And I've got so many copies of this Steve Corino email in my thing. Anytime anyone brought wrestling up, I was going, my boy, Steve Corino, yeah? It's my mate, Steve Corino. But my plan for Steve Corino, swear down, this was the truth. I had this image. I was going to, 13-year-old me thought I was going to rent the local parish hall, and my friend, David Cartwright, who doesn't wrestle and is 13 too, is going to wrestle Steve Corino for the world title, which is, that was my whole plan as a kid. But I'd had this whole thing from that time to SPW. I always wanted to have this company, SPW. Bucket yeah, list thing where I'm just one of
the over the years through EWR, TEW, Adam Ryland kind of has a lot to answer for.
Yeah,
when it comes to just the creation of this place,
it was just inevitable. Just I'm one of them people that, like, if there's something in my head that I've envisioned and fantasized about too much, it has to happen. And for the longest time, people go, "You're stupid." That's just the weirdest thing you could say. And then, but then I do it and I achieve it. And then it's, I have this other weird thing, but I feel like this is my last weird thing and I'm stuck here forever. But I eventually, when it come around to us doing a company and that, it was like, right, it's going to be SPW. So we know what the PW is going to stand for. So that the S needs to be so prestigious, you know, like, or like regal almost. And then we was like, you know, we're from the UK, from the Sovereign. I feel like the Sovereign coins are cool. You know, the Sovereign rings, all that's kind of cool. We could adapt that into the bell. And like the yellow and blue from the logo that come from WCW, like, you know, that's what I wanted, a traditional look pro wrestling company that sounded like a pro wrestling company and sounded a bit more, what's the word, like prestigious, regal in it, really, but like not over the top. Something that can fit with any season and just be like, yeah, that's that. And then there's all the cool abbreviations, and then he come up with the Sovereign Nation thing, and it was like, yeah, that's nailed on.
Yeah, works all day long. A few people that have reached out to us that are watching us live at home. We've got Paul watching us live via YouTube. Shotty makes a good point. Time has flown. Doesn't seem like a year and a half since First Reign. Thank you, Paul. And we've got Troy watching us as well. Yes, lads, hope you're all good. And we got Peter MacArthur watching us live via YouTube. Thank you, Peter. He was lucky enough to be at the first show. And since then, He's been to every show that there is. Solve Pro is going from strength to strength, and I'm enjoying every minute of it. Thank you so much, Peter. We've also got Nikki. Excellent example of it takes a village. Yeah. Certainly does. And thank you so much for watching. Keep sending your questions. Keep sending your comments. I want to talk about some of the talent that's really kind of made their mark in a Solve Pro ring, and some of the champions that you have. And I think just the champions alone, just world beaters, to have them on your roster and to have them as your figureheads is truly phenomenal. But first of all, I think it's only right, before I talk about the talent and the champions, we've got to talk about these there. Look at those championship belts, guys. I've got to say, they are absolutely beautiful. You've got the men's world, the women's world, you've got the Commonwealth Championship there, and the tag team titles. Give us a bit of insight into the designers and the ideas behind the look of those belts, because they just jump off the page. They're beautiful.
Yeah, nice one. Do you want to take this one?
Yeah, we wanted something that felt kind of traditional, classic, you know, again, the area that we grew up on. There was a lot of, you know, winged eagle, big gold, things like that. That's the style of belt we had a fondness for. But at the same time, you know, you want to kind of bring a bit of a modern twist to that as well. So I think we tried to find something that was a bit of a blend in the middle of sort of both styles. You've still got the ribbons and swirls and things, but slightly more contemporary shapes, I think.
And
it's just a lot of symbolism in that, in particular the side plates. I don't think we've got pretty pictures of the side plates.
Yeah, there's a lot of symbolism that we've not really elaborated on anywhere. Obviously, we'll tell you about today. But first of all, like, you have to say, like, Hellfire Designs, isn't it? Like,
oh, the greatest. Love Hellfire Designs. Brilliant.
Great. You know, they just did the TNA stuff and that, like, but just the great, just the stuff Hellfire sends all was just mind blowing. You know, can't, if you are a wrestling company and you want belts, I can't recommend it enough. Hellfire,
they're getting the attention that they deserve, I think, at the minute, especially with getting the TNA gig and things. People are recognizing how good those designs are,
and they've done so many amazing belts in the UK and around, you know, Europe, whatever. For me, just the top, that's the Louis Vuitton and Gucci of wrestling belt design. That's all. And absolutely, you know, give the brief and smashed it out
pretty
of the park.
First draft each time.
Yeah, every time. Yeah, that's it. So beautiful stuff. And like you're saying, we want stuff to be prestigious and have meaning. So, you know, like if you look, I don't know if you can pull that picture up again. I don't know if you can make it out fully on this, but say for instance, now you can't make it out fully on this, but we'll share a picture. So on the side plates of the men's world title, there's an homage to British wrestling on there. There's two bulldogs for the British Bulldogs. There's a brass knuckles for Regal, stood in front of a giant haystack and pitchfork. And so there's this little homage piece on each one, along with the sovereign coins. As you see that on the tag titles there, the side plates is the Heart Foundation doing the heart attack. Little Easter egg there. And then obviously some of the Commonwealth flags and stuff like that. But yeah, there's loads of little bits we could go on for ages
too, and things like that.
Symbolic
of just the diversity within behind the scenes of the company.
It's
a real melting pot, really. And some of those flags that you see on the Commonwealth Championship are flags that are tied to the heritage.
Yeah, like the nationalities of the owners and staff, and that, like, within, you know, obviously the Commonwealth and stuff. But there were so many flags in the Commonwealth. We just wanted, you know, we thought it'd be a nice touch to have the visible ones, the ones that represent, you know, the people within the company as well. So,
before we break down the card for May the 6th, False Idols, let's talk a bit about your champions, because like I say, they are world beaters, some of the best pros in the UK and pretty much anywhere for that matter. Your Commonwealth champion at the minute, there he is on the left-hand side of the poster there, Leon Slater, and one of his most recent matches against Jordan Oliver there, your last show in February. Your tag champions, the 8-7, They've been part of Solve Pro from day one, and they've been wonderful, wonderful champions for you guys as tag champions. You're women's world champion, LA Taylor, and part of the collective there has had a wonderful reign and some fantastic matches and a rivalry against Harley Hudson. And then, of course, we have to talk about that man there, Joseph Connors, your men's world champion. Men's world champion from show number one. So for 17 months, he's been your world champion. And like I say, four amazing champions that you can be very, very proud of there. But tell us a bit about your champions, what they mean to you, what they've done for you. And the other interesting thing is, they've been your champions since they won their championship, and there hasn't been a single title change in all of Solve Pro history so far, has there, guys?
No, they're fighting champions, and they're good at what they do. So absolutely, however they get the job done, they do get the job done. But, you know, it's very important. We know it's very important that the belts start off strong. So the people we put in the pool to compete for that, for the titles that, to start with, they have to be elite, the leaders of, you know, the new school, the leaders of the movement, or the, you know, legends like Joseph Connors and stuff who've been there, who've been you know, with NXT UK, like, plus before NXT UK, like Joseph Connors, just one of the best British wrestlers of all time, like, yeah, put him up there with
Joseph
anybody.
Connors back in the sort of WCW days and things. Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of the companies that really kind of reignited my interest in British wrestling. Yeah. So I'd drifted off for a little while, and WCPW just kind of made it accessible.
Yeah.
And Connors was one of the very prominent faces there. So just my whole sort of journey back into British wrestling, that's someone that's been just very visible, I guess, very sort of prominent in my recent experience.
Yeah. Well, Connors is just amazing. I don't think there's a foot he puts wrong anywhere. I've said it a few times, like, you know, I would love to see him have another big run somewhere, because he deserves it. Psychology-wise, intensity-wise, the little things. He's, like I say, one of the best British wrestlers of all time. So the first the world title match wasn't scheduled to be the way it was in the first show. It was scheduled to be two number one contenders matches. Warren Banks got injured. A couple of other things happened. You know, people couldn't make it, and it all switched up and turned out to be the four-way with Connors, Malik Warhorse, and Levi Moore, which was an absolute banger. And yeah, he earned that title that night and kept hold of it ever since. So he's the king of the sovereign nation for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us a bit about some of the other champions: LA Taylor, Leon Slater, the 8-7. Phenomenal champions, and like I say, a great figureheads to represent you as your champions.
Yeah, I mean, LA Taylor has been pretty much from day one when she came in. We did the Sovereign Six Scramble. That came about from just being wanted to do something a bit different. I always loved the Championship Scramble matches, so that kind of came about on the first show. LA Taylor was one of the sort of first names in the hat for that. I think she'd reached out to us early on, even before the first show. I think she'd reached out to us, but the show was kind of booked. But what she sent over was really sort of really excited by. There was
mind blown
potential there. So it was like 100% second show, LA Taylor has to be in the mix.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think just from day one, she's just been dominant. I don't think she's ever really been in too much danger in matches. Think very, very much the dominant champion. And I think that's one of the things that's kind of worked for us, is each of the championship reigns has been a little bit different, whereas Connors has been sneaking a lot of his wins, very cerebral in his approach. LA Taylor is a lot more in your face, high impact. You know you're in for a rough time when you're in there. And
yeah, she's cool as fuck as well.
Yeah,
she was cool as fuck.
There's some people, they walk through the curtain and there's an aura about them. Some people just look like a star. And LA Taylor walks through the curtain and looks like a star. She's definitely, if you want someone to represent your brand, that's, you know, 100% someone that is going to put eyes there.
And she wants contenders. She wants to compete. She wants to all this year, all next year, she wants to compete. She wants to put the title on the line. So we're trying to, you know, we want our champions to be fighting champions and defend against the best in the world and the best at sub pro. So we're throwing the obstacles at them this year, like, you know, Taylor, Connors, Slater, the 8-7, you know, the bookings will be heavy for them this year with, when you got the belt.
The best, I'm talking about competing with the best in the world, like LA Taylor, who's recently out in France with the ABC Catch, defended the Sub Pro women's title out there against Konami, who's just returned to stardom.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's getting out there with the belt, just looking to become synonymous with it and just show people sort of all over the world that that's a prize that's worth competing for.
And legitimize the belts as, like, you know, official world titles as well. Like, that's something that's on the agenda of, like, a lot of the wrestlers at South Pro. You know, we're down to have the belts defended elsewhere and stuff like that. Leon Slater got Commonwealth title, Commonwealth champ. Leon Slater, arguably the best young wrestler on the planet. Like,
sorry, what can you say about Leon Slater that someone's not already said? That doesn't mean we're not going to talk about him.
But
you hear the same things all the time, like one of the best in the country, best wrestler in the world under 20 years old, some superstar, meteoric rise.
Yeah.
Show he just seems to get better and better, doesn't he?
And he's just like, when you're around him, he feels like a Premier League footballer. Like, you'll see, you know, when we all get together, it's all family vibes, and you see everyone and all that. Leon's focused. Leon's getting warmed up. Leon's stretching. Leon's going over stuff in his head. And then when you speak to him, he's so focused, but, like, so humble. Like, you wouldn't know he's, like, 6'4", like, the best young prospect in the world, probably, and all that. And, like, the guy's just super humble, an amazing champ, an amazing representation of the company. And just the scene, he's booked up and down the country. He's, like, he's a part of everybody's family, you know what I mean? Every company. Most companies in the UK, they have a tie to Leon, and we're all just, like, super proud to watch him do what he's doing and stuff like that.
So, and his future is untapped. His future is untapped, I think. As long as he stays healthy, the world is his oyster, literally.
I'm happy to be on record as saying he will be the best in the world one day.
Yeah, me too.
Happy to go on record and say that.
Me too. And there's a lot of people at SoPro feel like that about. I really do. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people. I feel like everybody at SoPro has that ability to do that, like, all the way to the top and be the best on the planet. And I think there's some that are really close to, like, making them steps and that. And I mean, you see the likes of Leon and Harley and that, you know, getting to go out there and stuff and put on. It's amazing, man. But, like, tag titles, before I digress about them, tag titles, like, what can you say about them?
It's kind of digressing, but kind of on topic as well. Because one of those guys doesn't get enough credit and is in the bracket of being, you know, potentially one of the best in the country. Alexander Roth, absolutely fantastic talent. And, you know, he's got a lot of belts. He's working a lot of companies up and down the country, but he just doesn't seem to have quite peaked yet.
There's more to come.
There's a lot more to come from Roth. And I think they've been as the first tag champs. Oh, they've been synonymous with the company from day one, and I think there's something exciting about Roth, and obviously Roy, Big Roy.
Yeah, 100%. Let's jump to some questions and comments that have come through, and watching this via YouTube, we got to Michael, the best looking belts in the game, folks. Solve Pro is pure passion from the start. Now, this baby is being raised right, 100%, Michael.
Pencils in.
There we go. And we got Gary Ward watching us live at home via YouTube. Hey, Gary. Yeah, much love, lads. All the best for May the 6th. I echo that. And we got
out to Gary Ward as well, because he's been, like, you know, he always sharing advice. He come down to the show, you know, helps us out.
Yeah, it was a big help to us. Came down, sort of helps us out on Warpath, and yeah, we've learned a lot from Gary. Just bits of advice, tips,
and we keep in touch with Gary and stuff. Good guy, and you know, there's a lot of other promoters in the game as well. Like, you hear a lot of bad stuff about the clickiness and this and that, but You have to, I have to give flowers to the promoters as well. Like when we came in, that just, you know, was DMing us and you know, telling us like, just, you know, do your thing, man. Because a little bit of backlash, these outsiders coming into the game and whatnot. But guys like Gary Ward, Wrestle Island guys, and TNT and Infamous, and so many, don't want to name too many, North, because you don't want to leave them out. But like, I'm not going to try, but so many promoters reached out, give us bare love. So big up them and big up Gary Ward, man. So,
that's really cool. Really cool. And we've got Troy again, watching us live at home via YouTube. Gast Buff is the best host ever. I'm not too familiar with Gast Buff. Fill us in on who that is.
Well, what we do is, besides the stuff in the ring, which can't be done by anybody else but trained professionals and people who earn, you know, the right to be on shows like Sog Pro and stuff. You know, we don't really bring no new people in like that, other than people that, you know, are training and stuff. The other stuff, like, I don't know, announcers, people who are interviewing, the ringside people, anyone, they don't just have to be from the wrestling business. We're bringing in people from other industries. So Gast plays, he's a ring announcer, he plays Gaston LeBeouf at Sog Pro, but he's a really well-known battle rapper. So he applies that a little, you know, into his ring announcing, and he rhymes. Like, he had the greatest introduction for Les Battersby ever, and it all rhymed. So if you want to see that, check that out on our YouTube. But then we have the likes of like James Roach, and you know, James Roach is actually, you know, in a punk rock band, and he's like a really well-known singer in a band. But then when he comes over here, and these are people who wasn't in the wrestling business, but we want to not just come and do the same stuff everyone else is doing. We want to, you know, bring something to the table. So we have all these little other personalities that everyone's going to get the chance to get to know as everything goes on.
As you said, like in the ring, it's a very specific skill set. You've got to be trained for that. Outside of the ring, you can look at transferable skills, what people do in other places, and bring them over. And you know, Gast, in particular, with his wordplay, he came in initially as a live correspondent. He's moved into doing sort of a bit of show hosting, ring announcing now. And James, shout out Ariel Salad as well. Mm-hmm. James Roach there.
Wimbo, big up Wimbo to go. Wimbo, yeah. Everybody loves Wimbo.
James Roach's band actually do the theme song for Banter Bus.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just a little keeping it in the community.
Yeah.
There we go. And also some other people watching. And we've got Michael sending out some love for Lincoln as well. And Lincoln getting a few mention in the comments. Tell us a bit about Lincoln.
Legend, like one of the first guys in the group chat when we wanted to set up, comes all the way from London. He'd not really done, I don't think he'd done any ring announcing before, you know, the whole idea come about, and he decided he wanted to be the ring announcer with us. And I think in the lead up, he did his first ring announcing gig with, was it?
I'm not sure if it was.
It was a London-based company, I think.
Yeah, he did something with Everything Pattern.
But he's just an amazing guy, big voice. So yeah,
jovial personality. He's really awesome. Brings some life into the room, and he was fun, a new fresh face to bring in as well.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of talented announcers out there and show hosts and things. We got to speak to quite a lot of them, but yeah, we just wanted to have something a little bit different, bit of fresh blood. And Lincoln, young, enthusiastic, very big voice.
Yeah,
he sounds fantastic as a ring announcer, and it's one of those sort of intangibles, those things that you can't teach. When you listen to a ring announcer, sometimes it's just the voice.
Yeah,
like Howard Finkel, it's a specific voice. Justin Roberts has got a very distinctive voice.
He can hit them notes.
Yeah, Samantha Irving. Now, just those big, powerful, rich tones that certain people have, and Lincoln just naturally has that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who love wrestling and watch pro wrestling, who've watched it their whole life, that have really cool things they can contribute to the industry and to the art form, but, you know, might be scared to try and get involved or apply themselves somehow and all that. And, like, we're not the company to be scared of about that. We've said so many times, like, yo, if you want to get involved, let us know what you do and give us a shout and stuff like that, because that's what we're about as well, man. It's not no, people didn't gatekeep us, so, you know, we want to share the love of pro wrestling and being involved in it in whatever scope people can be involved in. So when we've got people that we love and respect saying, yo, I want to do this or I want to do that, or it'd be cool if I was a manager or if I was this, it's like, let's do it. Let's give it a go.
Yeah, I think it's helping people to realize that you don't need to be a wrestler to be involved in the wrestling business. Like, everyone grows up wanting to be a wrestler, wanting to do the WrestleMania main event and win the world title and things, but sometimes that's just not what your path's going to be. I was never athletic Sadly. Enough for that. It's something that I love to do, but I kind of found my way into this side. I found it more useful behind the curtain. My skills were a lot more beneficial there, so it took me a while to find my way in and realize that I could do something other than just be a wrestler. And I think more people are starting to realize that, and you're seeing a lot of like referee schools popping up now. James Greenwood, for example, coaching through the next generation of referees, and that's people that aren't just, to be harsh, failed trainee wrestlers. It's people that are going along specifically because they want to learn to be a referee. There's a lot of different arts and a lot of different components to bringing a whole show together. But as I always say, every part is just as important. You can't do the show without the wrestlers, but the wrestlers can't do the show without the people that are operating the lights or the people that are sort of getting the bar set up to make sure that there's catering on hand for the people that are in the building. Everyone's just bringing their own little bits in.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got DJ King watching us live at home via YouTube. James Roach and Gas Buff fit into the wrestling business perfectly. I couldn't imagine doing Solve Pro without them. Thank you so much, DJ. Obviously, Solve Pro being a Manchester-based wrestling promotion. What's the most famous TV soap opera coming out of Manchester? Oh, of course, Coronation Street. And we've got to talk about this guy here, Corey Mania, Les Battersby Mania. But the amount of press coverage and mainstream news that you got from having Corey's Les Battersby in pro wrestling, in Solve Pro, has just been mind-blowing, guys. Tell us a bit about kind of the genesis of getting Mr. Battersby as part of Solve Pro, because it's been a success, hasn't it, guys?
Yep.
It's a really, really simple story as well. It's just a massive product of don't overthink it.
Yeah,
it's like, definitely. Shotty had an idea. I was sat at home. My phone vibrated a couple of times, didn't check it straight away, was doing other stuff.
This is how a lot of stuff happens as well, you know. Me, I'm in a bad idea and just roping my mates into it.
It vibrated again, so I picked it up and there was like a few messages from Shotty, and it was a picture of Bruce Jones had put out something on Twitter, basically just saying that he was available for Panto bookings and things. It was coming up for Panto season, looking at the sort of start of the Panto run. And Shotty had just sent a picture of that and just said, can we book Les Battersby? A minute later, another message that said, I don't ask for very much, just give me this one, please. Yeah. And then another minute later, a message that said, I've DM'd him.
I couldn't wait. I asked permission.
Half an hour, he'd come back to us as well, and the ball was kind of rolling, but it literally just came about from Shotty had just the most random idea based on something that he saw, and we just didn't overthink it. We just ran with it.
I seen it. I was like, that's going to be for some. If I was just chilling and someone said, yeah, Les Battersby showing up at this wrestling show, I'm buying a ticket. So I was like, yeah, I'm doing it. Brainwave, I'm doing it. And I messaged the guys in the chat and I was like, yo, can we do this? Please let me do this. But then a voice said, what would Les do? Les would ask for forgiveness, not for permission. Bam, got on the phone, got it sorted. Big Les in the gaff. So, and I cannot stress to you how this is just the beginning. I can't stress how this is just the beginning. It's the we call it Sovereign Nation Street, and that because when Hollywood when Corey Wood Les shown up, when big Corey Wood Les shown up, the leader of the LBWO, he set off the beginning of, you know, the. We was calling it the Corey verse and that, but it's more than the piece. It's It's more in the car reverse.
Or in motion that cannot be stopped.
I'll give you a story, yeah, which will give you a bit of an idea of where we're going, right? So I got in a massive argument with Pat Sharp's manager, yeah? Because I wanted to do a Pat Sharp's Funhouse match where we'd have the twins ride around the ring in scooting go-karts. And then Pat Sharp would host it, and then the loser would get gunged. And we just didn't see eye to eye on the financial aspects of it. Kind of like Austin at Mania with The Undertaker stuff and that, with The Rock. So, yeah, couldn't. But, yeah, you know, we negotiations with Pat Sharp broke down. This is all really true. So that's just like, but, like, you cast your rod out, you cast your line out, and you get bites, and sometimes you don't. And Wayne Gretzky once said, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So we missed loads of shots. We scored loads more. So there's crazy stuff coming. I can't stress. Get there on May 6th. I can't stress it enough. Like, it's wild. I love the BWO. I love the job squad. I love that part on the card, which is, it's just light, it's fun, it's carnage, and it seems to be, it's just its own little world. Like the hardcore title at one point, it was just its own little universe with inside the universe. And, you know, Bantabus, they, you know, they have slipped through a crack in the multiverse and ended up in this weird Coronation Street world where mental stuff's going on. And it all just come from me being sat here like, what the hell? Yeah.
It's the combination you never thought you wanted, but it's a combination that every promotion should have. Coronation Street and professional wrestling. But I don't know if you've seen this meme, the Alan Partridge meme. Les Batsby from Coronation Street does wrestling. Just imagine the pop when the Corey theme hits. Did he come out to the Corey theme?
He did. He come out to a bit of a medley. He started with the Corey theme. People was buzzing off that. And then, you know, the DJ scratched it into Rocking All Over the World by Status Quo, which is the Les character was huge on. And the whole LBWO thought and everything just comes down to Les was known for double denim, Scott Hall, double denim, bam. And so we had Les. The first thing Les said in the Sub Pro ring in his double denim, he said, "You know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here." Same as the Scott Owen. There's a meme out there where they're playing them both at the same time, back to back, and it's hilarious. But yeah, it all just come from an idea that might have been under the influence of something. It was like, yo, imagine just making Les Battersby like the leader of the NWO, but like he just is totally unaware of the NWO. He thinks he's come up with it all. Corey Woodless.
I've got some pictures here, guys, and this was from your February show, and there he is, double denim Les, laying the smackdown, and the LBWO.
We all know that he did the claw, yeah, you know. Big Danny Cool. There's Les Pack, Big Danny Cool, the man guy, the match of the, what was it, Macho Jack Randy Salford. yeah, the LBWO, running wild, man.
Brilliant.
For life.
Absolutely brilliant. And you've got a T-shirt as well. Sovereign Nation Street. There we go. We'll talk more about your merch a bit later on, but we need to kind of have a little look at some of the matches. And sticking with the subject of Les Battersby, he is going to be there, isn't he, Monday the 6th of May, Idols.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of issues and trouble for Les on that night.
Apparently so, because you've got Ashley Peacock. Now, I remember him as being quite a shy, reserved member of the Coronation Street cast, but he's going to be there. The leader of the Butcher Club will be there to confront Les Battersby, if I can get my words out properly. So you've kind of been able to incorporate another famous Coronation Street character for your May the 6th show.
Well, he's just shown up like he's mad. He's got a gripe. He said in his promo, you know you've done it, Les. I know it was you. Don't act like it wasn't you. And on May 6th, I'm going to come speak to you about it. So he wants to confront him about something. We haven't got a clue what it's going to be. So It's going to be wild. We'll see what's going to go on there. But the butcher, I'm interested to see who's in the butcher club. Like, you know, we've got the LBWO. And there's clearly, he was talking about a gang. We're going to see his gang. It's going to be interesting to see who's going to be in the LBW, in the butcher club, and what Ashley's big problem is. Because like you say, he's always a nice guy. Son of a butcher. T-shirts will be available very soon, and Butcher Club shirts will be available very soon.
Let's talk about the matches then that have been announced for May the 6th, False Idols, and you can get your tickets at sovereignpro.com. Is that right, guys? Is that the main place, the website, sovereignpro.com?
Sovereignprowrestling.com, and then the new merch one, is it open now?
Sovpro.shop.com is the new merch link. It's the nice short one.
But the tickets for the show, sovereignprowrestling.com/tickets. Click the little False Idols logo.
There we go. And let's talk about this one here then. The Les Battersby World Order, the LBWO, with Les Pack going up against The Right Way. So fill us in on this one here, guys. Fill us in on this match, the story behind it, and what we are likely to see on May the 6th.
So this match here is a Coronation Street fight. It's similar to a street fight, only it's a Coronation Street fight. And what that means is you'll find out on the day. But basically, Les shown up. Les came for a good time to have a little chat. In the lead up to the show, when we announced that he was there, Thatcher Wright got his back up about it. He thinks Les is, you know, he epitomizes the council estate, jobless, thieving northerner that he thinks that we all are.
He thinks Margaret Thatcher's good conservative values.
No, and he essentially thinks Les is the tribal chief of the Northwest, pretty much. And he wanted to make a show out of him. But Les had backup, Les had other plans. So, you know, Les came out there, came to have a little chat to the people, say hello. And Thatcher came out with his group, The Right Way. The boys, the banter boss and Jack Johnson came out and helped Les out, thankfully.
There we go.
Legend, absolute legend.
Should be a good match. And another reason why you should be getting tickets for False Idols, Bullet, part of the collective, going up against Joey Hayes. The winner enters the main event title match, which we'll talk about very, very shortly. You got two of the very best performers on the UK scene there, guys. What can you tell us about this one?
So this match, Joey and Bullet, since Collective was born on top of Joey Hayes, pretty much. Like when Leighton Buzzard and Kelly Six shown up at Sov Pro, they wanted to make a mark against the old guard and stuff and show, like, you know, this is a new company, so there's going to be a new era of people that we didn't necessarily book. They came and just, you know, muscled the way in and did their own thing. Got out of hand. Bullet was someone I actually brought in personally myself to calm that stuff down. And just, you know, big dude, a guy who I've trained with, and he's a cool guy. And, you know, you bring him in to do something. But, yeah, man, he was with Leighton and them the whole time. And it's just something we've not really had a hold of, but they've seemed to have really made, like, you know, a beeline for Joey Hayes and Harley Hudson. And there's been some crazy stuff going on, which you can see on the YouTube leading up to this. But this all comes down to the world title as well. But Joey wants Leighton. We now know Leighton's not in the match, you know, with Leighton's injury. But when Joey requested to be in the title match to get his hands on Leighton, and I've told him, you know, face Bullet, and the winner of that can go into the world title match. It got me thinking about that, and it got me thinking about, you know, Joey and Bullet and who they are and them deserving to be in that match. And I still want to keep that going, even though Leighton's not going to be in there. Leighton's not there for Joey to get his hands on. But for me,
down to who replaces Leighton in that match when you've got Joey and Bullet competing for a spot.
Yeah, because it's all, yeah, that's it. They're both competing for a spot in a match where there's now two spots available. So I'm thinking we just give you a Jonas exclusive.
Ooh.
And say officially we're going to scrap that match. Joey Hayes and Bullet is no longer happening at False Idols because both Joey Hayes and Bullet are going into the TLC match for the world title.
News. That's big news.
Exclusively big news. On
the Joseph Connors, Sam Gradwell, Man Like the Reese, Joey Hayes, and Bullet.
There we go.
So that's late, a hell of a lineup. Yeah, take Leighton out of that there and you add Joey and Bullet. They can get their issues out. You know, everybody in there has a right to go for that title. I believe in everybody in that match, as you do, as the rest of the team do. And the TLC match.
They've earned a place in there. Any one of those people, they're more than capable of putting the belt on the shoulder, putting the company on the shoulders,
every and single
carrying
one
the brand forward. All five of those people are certainly capable of that. So, incredible lineup to have.
And the TLC match, like, just let's get more TLC matches, please.
Wow. Like, that's going to be incredible.
These guys, the mix of, you know, agility and strength and stuff like that, I feel like we're going to see some innovative stuff. If you are a pro wrestling fan and you've not seen a TLC match live, and you are anywhere near Manchester, then you have to go to this, regardless of the talent that's in the match and the level of almost to everybody in this match. We haven't got along with, you know what I mean? There's a lot of people on the South Pro roster that we haven't got along with because they're going to the moon. They're leaving us. They're going. And we get this nice moment where the Wivels right now where they're, you know, they're earning the stripes and the putting the foot down and showing who they are. We're one of the lucky companies that some of these guys get to do it with, because no bones about it, this is some of the best talent on the planet. People say the UK or Europe, no, these are, I'll put the Reese up against anyone. I'll put Buzzard up against anyone. I'll put Bullet, Gradwell, Connors, Hayes. I'll put all of these up against anybody on the planet. These are some of the best wrestlers in the world. In a tables, ladders, and chair match for the world championship, it don't get no bigger, it don't get no better. That's what it's all about, man. I can't wait. I know people are going to be on the headset trying to get me to do stuff like when that match is going on.
You're
going to
want to watch it. It's like, leave me alone. I've got to see this match.
Whatever you want, the headset's coming off. I'm getting a beer and some popcorn, and I'm watching a TLC match between five of the best wrestlers on the planet. In my own city,
I'm going to be running around panicking.
He's going to be running around doing health and safety.
He's going to be wearing the headset. That's it, while Shotty's eating his popcorn. Let's talk about this one here then. Harley Hudson recently signed to Impact TNA. Harley Hudson issues an open challenge. What can you tell us about this? Obviously, I don't expect another exclusive. What, you know, we've already had a massive exclusive about the main event, but Harley Hudson back inside a soft pro ring, this time with an open challenge.
I think absolutely love Harley. She's been with us from day one.
Yeah.
Some centerpiece of the company. She's been part of the heart and soul of things, really. From the Dreamhouse death match on the first show with Mariah. Obviously both gone on to do sort of bigger things from there. But she's just kind of summed up the never say die kind of attitude that we want to see on the roster. She's had, you know, bit of a mixed record, couple of wins, couple of losses, been in that title picture, as you say, the big story with LA Taylor. Unfortunately, you know, didn't quite go her way there, but, you know, off the back of that, she's gone on to gut check, absolutely smashed it there, going on to Canada now to work with Impact. And yeah, she just said that she really wanted to go out with a good match. Like, she didn't want to just come out and say goodbye and wave and then just slink off into the sunset. She said, I want to go out with a great match.
Which shocked us. It shocked everyone. Like, last show, it was meant to be the goodbye Harley train, you know what I mean? It was like, you know, she's out of here. The last appearance seems to be falling on with us. And she let it be known, like, I'm not going out like the way it's lined up at the minute. I wanna have a fight. I wanna have a war at SoPro to leave behind. So we don't know. We don't know who it is.
The call is out there, and there's a lot of people that have reached out trying to answer it. We just have to see who comes through the door on the day.
Legit. We're just like, there's so many candidates for that. That we would love to
look at you all. We got, you know, love to put everyone that reaches out, but
you got to be there. SovereignProWrestling.com. Get your tickets today to find out who answers Harley Hudson's open challenge. What about this one here, guys? Tony Wright making waves on the UK scene, going up against another member of the collective, Chris Bronson, somebody I know very, very well. False Idols, Monday, the 6th of May. That's going to be another corker, isn't it? Another cracking match all day long.
Well, Chris Bronson's just one of them, like, phenomenal talent. He just appeared. He appeared at last show costing Tony Wright's chance at the Crown Cup, really. It came down to Kelly and Tony to win the Crown Cup. Another member of Collective showing up, make debut, officially joined the group on camera as we see it. We don't know how long these guys have been speaking or whatever, but he cost Tony Wright. On the next show, Tony confronted Kelly to speak about that and say that the Crown Cup should have probably been his, and, you know, maybe line up for a match at some point. And there was Chris Bronson again with the sneak attack from behind. So we can't have that. We can't keep having that happen backstage. We're trying to do this guy's running around with his health and safety clipboard. We can't keep having stuff go like that. You know, it's a company where we sell fights or get in the ring and fight.
Yeah,
that stage.
Absolutely.
Or at least you tell us that you're going to do it and get a full blown camera crew back then. Sort it out.
Yeah, I think Tony's a guy who's been his profile in the Northwest scene in particular has just been massively increasing over the last year. He's really blowing
he's
up.
The man.
He's putting on good matches. He's just getting better and better week in, week out. Every time you see him. And then Chris Bronson, he's one of those. There's a bracket of people out there that I say, even though people say they're great, they're underrated. And anyone that you ask about them will say, this person's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But not enough people seem to be talking about them just yet. And I think a lot of people haven't had the chance, maybe from the SoPro audience, to see Chris in action yet. So it's going to be a hell of a showcase for the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the best in the Southwest for sure. And he's aiming to be one of the best in the Northwest. But the Stallion going up against Tony Wright there. Let's talk about this one here. Lana Austin and Lucia Lee. Another phenomenal match. Lucy has come on leaps and bounds over the last couple of years. Lana Austin, easily one of the best female talents in the UK and Europe further afield. This is going to be a great match. And tell us a bit about the story behind this match and what we're likely to expect on Monday the 6th.
I think part of the charm of this match is we don't quite know what to expect with this match. It's sort of a rematch from what happened at It's Dark and Hell is Hot. Obviously, Lana came in to the company as the Easter Bunny last year. And joined up.
Like, yeah, serious. Like, the actual Easter Bunny.
Yeah, full on.
Left a chocolate imprint on Aurora Tevez's head, like, by hitting her with a. Yeah. But Decibel's just been running riot. Bad kids.
Yeah, ready Piper Aurora with a chocolate egg. Literally, you could see the word Cadbury's on her forehead until the next day. That is legitimate. There is a picture somewhere. And, since then, it's been causing chaos, and like, they dumped water over Lucia's head backstage after a match, and just been running roughshod. I think Lucia's the person that decided to kind of step up and say enough's enough. She had the match with Lana on the last show. And so in the lead up to it, she'd been saying to Lana, you've kind of lost who you are. You've focused so much on the shenanigans and the Queen of Mean that you've kind of lost the diehard Lana Austin that went out and trained in Japan, that sort of worked hard in the dojos, that professional wrestling meant everything to. what she's saying is you've lost that person because you're just messing around now. Yeah. And when it came to the match going one-on-one, Lucia got the win. Lana tried to cheat one too many times and it kind of cost her. And this is, I think Lucia wanted to give her another opportunity. So come out, do things the right way. You know, lose the antics, lose the Queen of Mean, come out and wrestle me.
And I think Lucia knows, Lucia knows that Lana has to be focused. You know, there's too many bad kids backstage. you know, we need a veteran Mancunian like Lana to just get focused and just get what she's on into in a degree and an extent. I agree with Lucia. So
I think a focused Lana to see is what's one of the best in the world.
Yeah.
But at the end of that match, she didn't look like she was too focused, still messing about. But it'd be a great match. Like for me, I'm probably biased. I think Lana's the best female British wrestler in the world right now and has been for a while. I just think it should, and take the word female away and all that stuff as well, because she's just one of the most amazing wrestlers I've ever seen. And Lucia's on the way up there, do you know what I mean? She improves so much. Great attitude, just amazing person. And she puts it in, man. And she gives it all in the ring, outside. But to me, Lana's like the benchmark, man. Lana's that, you know, if there's anyone to learn from, anyone to emulate or be like, besides the crap she's doing, you know, being a bad kid, she's just phenomenal, man. And them two have just great chemistry, isn't it? Great chemistry. So if you didn't see the last one, or you did see the last one, just get there and see this one.
There we go. And what about this one here? I know CPF have got a long history with Solve Pro. I think they even had a crack at the Solve Pro World Tag Team Championships a while ago. Going up against Sunshine Machine, who I believe, if I'm not mistaken, are making their Solve Pro debut. But tell us about this one here. Two of the very best tag teams in the whole of the UK going head-to-head on May the 6th.
Yeah, the tag division is important. And we run at the moment in the first year, coming into the second year, we haven't run as frequently as we want to do, because we feel that, you know, a lot of companies make that mistake, you know, trying to do too much too soon. So it takes time to build divisions, you know, like the tag division and stuff like that, whatever. But I think we're starting to get into the swing of it now, and you're starting to see a division flesh out and develop, and we've got some great teams, and we're adding more. And as the company grows, we'll be adding more dates throughout the year and stuff, and try and get to that elusive one a month that we want to get to and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll be developing the tag divisions and stuff like that more. But that division is based off the foundation of the 87 and CPF, the trilogy that they've had at Sog Pro up to now. But the last time we've seen CPF, you know, they turned into bad kids. And total different CPF to what I'm used to what anyone's used to. So it's a whole new dynamic for what the way they are in the ring and the way they're approaching matches and stuff like that. And Sunshine Machine is just, I love them. I have them for since I've seen them. Like Chuck Mambo's got, I want to make an album with him. He's got the best voice in the world.
Sure.
Hey, Shoddy Man. That's the thing with
Sunshine Machine. They're just cool.
Speak.
And
it's just they're just cool, and they're amazingly talented, and yeah, like, you know, and they're good guys, man. And you've seen what CPF did to the Quinlans as well, like Quintessential, amazing young tag team who just beat CPF in a really shock win in what I say is just the best tag match we've had. I just love that match so much.
Yeah, I think everyone sees the potential in Quintessential and Sunshine Machine.
Especially kind of Sunshine Machine, yeah.
Exception to what CPF did to them after the match.
Yeah.
And I think that's where this kind of came about. It was, CPF, they've got a little bit cocky, we'll say,
yeah,
at the minute. And Sunshine Machine just want to kind of slap them back down into the place to keep reminding them, you have never beat Sunshine Machine. I think it's 4-0.
Yeah. And CPF are quick to remind them, but this is, you know, it's a different CPF. they've got the bad kids.
True colours.
Yeah, being naughty, man. And I love it. I love it all. That match, to me, yeah, it's going to light the place up, man. And, you know, Sovereign Nation get to see Sunshine Machine. You know, I know Peter and Elaine and are going to be super happy seeing Sunshine Machine, seeing...
Yeah, Peter and Elaine were very excited, yeah. Definitely so.
Yeah.
I think Elaine's two favourite tag teams in the UK are CPF.
I don't know if CPF are that much of a favourite anymore. She's not really enjoying them, though.
And the final match I want to talk about is this one here. LA Taylor, the current Sov Pro Women's World Champion, going up against Emerson Jane. Now, we mentioned earlier about LA Taylor being a fighting champion, been the champion since show number 2 over a year ago now. But going up against Emerson Jane, she's on a tear. She's doing some amazing things pretty much every ring she steps into. But tell us a bit about that one there, because I think LA Taylor's possibly got the hardest fight in a Sov Pro career so far. That's going to be a match, absolutely, you know, worth the price of admission. But I want to be there just to see that one. What about you guys?
I don't think it can be even, like, that's not a hot take, or it's not that debatable. This is 100% LA Taylor's toughest fight.
Like you said, fighting champion. If you're going to have a fighting champion, you've got to give them fights. And this is what I've wanted for a while. Emerson, like you say, on tear.
Arguably the best run of last year. I've 12 months ago from now, like, Emerson Jane's up there. She's been killing it. Yeah, absolutely killing it. Empress. And this is, these are the types of world title matches we want. These are the big fights. You know, we look at it the way the UFC look at it, and we want to put, you know, we want to put, is it the immovable object versus what's the whole little saying?
Yeah, the unstoppable force meets the immovable object.
We want to put that on as much as we can. We want to put that on as much as we can. And if you've seen Emerson wrestle, you can't help but just wonder what would happen. It's just,
she's world class.
She's world class. Absolutely. And you just, I went out and watched her win the TNT Deathmatch tournament. And I was just in the crowd just wondering, like, what would happen if we put her in front of LA Taylor. And that's it. Next thing you do is book the match, make it happen. So again, I'm super excited. Whole card, even you get some cards where, and for us, fortunately, it's been pretty much all of them. Like you put it down, you book it, you put down what's going on in the card and that, and you're just like, if I was a fan, I would snap your hand off for this ticket. The card's amazing. I'm super proud of it.
Yeah, you're kind of looking through, wondering, where do I take a piss?
You know,
there's no piss breaks.
Yeah, go to, make sure you go do that.
There you go. It's absolutely stacked. Absolutely stacked. Probably the most stacked wrestling card that weekend or any weekend. So get your tickets. SovereignProWrestling.com is where you can get your tickets now, or at least after this anyway. But guys, an absolutely stacked card. And I think that, as I said, from show number one, you guys have put on tremendous cards with the very, very best talents. What's been some of your highlights or favourite matches or moments of the last 17 months since the very first show of Sov Pro?
A lot of them probably involve Leon Slatel. That's going to be honest. But some of the best matches that we've had, I always say, I hate to pick out specific matches because I'm proud of everything that we've done. But Leon Slater and Endicaro was an absolute fantastic match, 100%.
Yeah, amazing.
The fatal four-way for the Commonwealth Championship, again with Leon, Darice, Leighton Buzzard and Ninja Mac. Absolutely phenomenal match. And then the Commonwealth title match, again with Leon Slater, Jordan Oliver.
Yeah.
Another fantastic match. I think they're three of my favourite matches, and every single one of them has Leon in there. So they're things I'm sort of really proud of. Obviously, the shot you touched on before, having the Impact title, the Impact world title on our second ever show. We're bringing Josh Alexander over to defend that. First time they've been defended in England in
second ever.
A decade.
It was our second ever show. We literally didn't know what we was doing. We didn't know what we did right or wrong from the first show. We was just, and then I remember being stood up on the balcony for a minute, because we was in Gorilla behind the screen most of the night, and I remember being stood up on the balcony at one point, and it was just like, oh, this is like big time wrestling, like on our second show. It's like Manchester Academy. You know, I'm a musician. It took me my whole career, loads of my career, to get there and be able to be on such a prestigious stage. And, you know, sub pro, not even 1 year old, like not even a few months old. Yeah, and we got that impact.
Body slammed on it.
And Kenny Omega had just dropped the belt to Josh Alexander. I think that's how it went. And, like, you know, I'm backstage holding this belt. Like, I'm like, this is nuts. This is nuts. It's amazing, man. Like, and just looking at the team who a few months ago didn't do anything, and everyone's got lanyards and headsets, and they're just going and executing the jobs. And I'm just like, ah, I'm Paul Heyman. Go on. And I just ticked off the thing on the box. And it's just amazing, man. And for me, the best thing for me is just seeing the people in the crowd with Sub Pro logos on, or Collective logos, or anyone's merch or anything, and they're just loving what we wrote. Like, that's the over anything. And then also, I won't waffle on too long, but just like the likes of Ian Skinner and stuff, and like the work Ian Skinner's doing with us and stuff like that. Like, yeah, the likes of Skinner and Lucio, and, you know, just being a part of, you know, being an important part of a young wrestler's career and stuff like that. Like, just having a hand and contributing and putting us at some time aside to contribute to something that's contributed so much to our lives and character makeup and stuff like that is just like the best thing ever. So we're going nowhere. Like, we're here to stay. The team will get bigger. The company will get bigger. You know, we have the craziest, wildest dreams and visions, and we execute them all, and we will do, man. And like, this is where we're at in a year and a half. So hopefully we'll keep up with the conversations, and we'll keep coming in and visiting you and stuff. But in 5 years, we'll hopefully look back and go, wow, you know, well, not hopefully, we 100% will. 10 million% will, because we'll say our prayers and take our vitamins.
Let me ask you guys, what would you say is some of the biggest learning curves over the last 17 months? And I'm sure, you know, you were flying by the seat of your pants, show one and two, but you're heading into show seven now. What would you say has been some of the biggest learning curves or lessons in the last year and a half?
Watch the expenses, Bill.
Yeah. Yeah. They sting you with the travel.
Yeah. Forget.
I think the main thing for me is we've always been suckers for like long-term planning.
Yeah.
It's like everything. We are, everything that we do has a long-term goal. Everything has a reason. There's very little that we don't do for a specific motivation while laying a seed, or, you know, there's always a purpose, and we have all of these long-term ideas, and it's kind of beginning to adapt to the fact of, this is wrestling and it is going to go wrong.
Yeah, be like what Bruce Lee said, be like water in as a pro wrestling booker. Be like water.
Yeah. You have your plans, you know where you want to go, but just learning to roll with the punches, to pivot, to adapt around, you know, whether it's availability, injuries, things that might go wrong on the show, technical hitches. It's just, yeah, you've got to have your plan, but dance around. As they'd be like, what? Go with the flow, go with it.
And something else, I
control everything.
Something else I want to say as well is, like, when I came into this game from the music game, acting and battle rap and all that, and I remember when I first started to come into it, I got warned off by a lot of people in the wrestling business and a lot of people outside of the wrestling business, you know, and we know a lot of names and people that got kicked the fuck out of here for, and so they should be, and stuff like that. But I think at one point the whole scene got this bit of a stigma about it, like everyone's a knobhead. But, and that worried me coming in, because this is something I love and I want to be involved in, but it seems like polluted grounds and whatnot. And I've just got to give a big massive shout outs to like the majority of the community who were just fucking awesome. Just like, you know, yourself and everybody else, like, the fans, every promotion going. We ain't got no issues, no beefs or nothing like that with no other promotion. Every promotion going, the fans, the wrestlers, everybody that makes a show work, from the people who are helping us pick stuff up, doing whatnot, and just the people who take 2 minutes out to send a nice tweet or like something or retweet something or absolutely ever like, and just, you know, in British wrestling right now, if you come to a show, it's a beautiful place, man, filled full of beautiful people. So just, yeah, just shout out to the whole community and thank you for welcoming us the way you have welcomed us.
Yeah, great group of fans out there at the minute. And so, you know, you always get your toxicity in any fan base, but British wrestling fans generally at the moment, they seem like a really warm, welcoming group. Sovereign Nation in particular, we welcome people in, but you know, other promoters, things, you know, professional rivalries aside, that will always be there. But a lot of promoters have reached out with, say, bits of tips, advice, bits of feedback on things, suggestions. It's a lot more collaborative, I think, than you realize at times, or the people on the outside realize at times. It's not all of these companies trying to tear each other down and gunning for the same market share. Everyone sort of wants everyone to do well. There's always that, say, the professional rivalry. If you want to do just that little bit better, you want them to do well, but you want to do just a little bit better yourself. That's kind of always there. But yeah, it's just a really, really supportive group of people.
Yeah, that's like, really good to hear.
We feel like we kind of belong here now. We've kind of like we've gone past these are the outsiders that are coming in and starting up a wrestling company. It feels like they're just part of British wrestling now, and it's a nice thing.
Absolutely, a very exciting part of the British wrestling community. Let's jump to some questions. People watching us at home, we've got Sir Peter. Peter's going to bring the popcorn for that main event, Shotty. So I think we're all sorted. We got Nikki again, big fan of Tony Wright, the leading man, Tony Wright, and James watching us at home. Lucia is amazing, one of my favorites in Soft Pro. I echo that as well. There we go. Peter again, I know my lady Elaine will be happy to see and meet Sunshine Machine. We got Michael watching us at home. CPF and Sunshine Machine will be a banger. Thank you for always putting on the best shows with the seriously fantastic talent you book. Bring on May the 6th. And we've got to DJ King again. CPF did the boys dirty. No love for those boys anymore. I think a lot of people agree with DJ King there.
I literally, King was out of his seat.
Yeah.
And Nikki, LA versus Emerson is a biggie. So excited for this one. Thanks, guys. There we go. But very soon, we're going to ask you for your socials where we can reach out, say hi, learn more about Sovereign Pro. But just a quick reminder that next week is going to be a big week for Wrestling Majana, starting Monday, the 22nd. The underdog, Josh Must Win, Josh Folds himself, will be on the show. Not just talking about the E4 reality series, but talking about his pro wrestling career. I've known Josh for well over a year, so we've got lots of stories to get into. 2 days later, Wednesday the 24th, we've got Joe Blazer hot off of his tour of Philly over in the States. We're going to be talking about that and his wonderful career and, I'd say, his transformation over the last year or so. And then Friday, we got The Kid Without Fear. CPF member Danny Black will be joining me live on Wrestling Majana's. That's Friday the 26th of April. But guys, it's been awesome having you on the show for nearly an hour and a half. Time has absolutely flown. For anybody watching at home that wants to reach out and learn more about Sov Pro on X, Facebook, wherever, where can they reach out, get in touch, say hi and learn more about your fantastic wrestling promotion?
So on X, it's just Sov Pro. SOVPRO. Instagram, Sovereign Pro Wrestling. I'm not spelling that.
Everything else is Sovereign Pro Wrestling. X is at SovPro. Everything else is at SovereignProWrestling.com. Sovereign Pro Wrestling. Sorry, SovereignProWrestling.com for the website. And
check the website out too. For the merch. Check the website out too. It's cool, man. Like, it's a really cool, fun website.
It's really well made, extremely professional website. Can't recommend it enough. Top work.
Yeah, this guy smashed it, man. So yeah, give that a little bit of time, man. Because I know we're in an era where it's all on the social feed. Everyone's looking on the social feed, but take a look at the website. A few articles on there, some pictures, some context to the company. It's cool, man.
Yeah, we're going to keep more blogs, articles, things like that rolling through on there as well. So I think we've got a few people that have said they're going to write things. I've got a preview coming for False Idols as well to break down sort of a bunch of the matches in more detail. So yeah, sovereignprowrestling.com.
There we go. And if you go over there, you've also got the merch as well. So you've got a whole range of Sovereign Pro t-shirts, hoodies, beanies, and baseball caps, collective gear. It's all there. So check it out. A really, really cool range of merch there, guys. Tell us a bit about the merch. What's some of your favorite bits?
Oh, like, I'll do some bits. Everyone will, like, you know, because me and him kind of, we do like all the editing and the graphic design and stuff like that. And so I'll have some ideas for merch and stuff. He'll have some, but then we'll work with like Luke. Luke's one of the artists that reached out. He just reached out to
Luke
us.
Salovey, yeah, LS Artwork.
Yeah, he just reached out to us and was like, "Yo, I really like what you're doing. I'm a fan. You know, I do these drawings and stuff. Let's work together."
That's so cool.
Great guy, yeah. So and cool. So he did the Les Street Fighter one.
Coronation Street Fighter.
It's Les Batsby as
well.
Yeah, the Atlas shirt, which is my favorite piece, like, in what we've got is the Atlas one with the dude holding up the Sov Pro logo. It just gives me the old WCW feels.
Yeah, well, one of my favorites is the Scratch logo. It's like the old Attitude Era sort of scratched WWF logo, but it's kind of the Sov Pro circle, and on the left on there. That's probably one of my favorite pieces of merch. That's one that Shotty did.
Yeah.
So it's a collaborative thing with sort of a few different people.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then there's been so many that's just ended up in the recycling bin.
There's so much that we sort of come up with, start doing things, and then you kind of quality control yourself out of it.
Yeah. Well, go and grab you some.
Tell us a bit about your YouTube channel, guys, because I was checking it out earlier, and it's a class deal. You've got all of your shows up there, including lots of other highlights and some free matches as well. But it's definitely worth paying a trip over to your YouTube channel. Tell us a bit about it and why we should become a member.
So, yeah, there's like you say, there's some free matches on there to, you know, to give you an idea and a feel of what we do. And you can check out the Dreamhouse Deathmatch and that on there. But all the full shows behind the dreaded paywall, which really helps the company grow. We got some amazing stuff on there, like the whole back catalogue up to now. And we got something really cool coming. If you go on there and you see there's a tier called We Run a Wrestling Company, we're essentially it's been in the works for a while, where we're gonna be doing essentially it's a podcast where we're just lifting the full curtain up and just talking about the actual insides and real problems and issues and whatever you have as a wrestling promoter, as just a group of friends doing this, like the real general story. You know, because I like to, as redundant as it may seem today's day and age, as people can tell when they speak to me about Sov Pro, I still like to keep it a kayfabe. You know what I mean? I don't like the word, but you know what I mean?
We don't like to lift the curtain too much, as you can sort of see from some of the responses you've had today. But
like, if people really do want to see that from us and understand, we want to do it properly, I tell you that it's pain in the ass to drag a bunch of pallets of water across the thing and this and that, and you know, when the tire pops on the whole fucking rig up that's bringing the whole show across country in like 3 hours before, and look like we're going to cancel the show. All of this kind of stuff we're going to be putting on this extra tier on the YouTube. So if that's something people are interested in, to go and check out that. But like, there's, I honestly think
a bunch of other content coming through there as well, with whether it's podcasts, sketch shows. We've got the little piece coming with the sort of focusing on James Roach, for example, the sort of his adventures as an entrepreneur, basically a little bit of a video diary from him, just a few different bits of content. We're sort of aiming to get things out as regular as we can, sort of get towards hopefully getting a weekly schedule, so it'll be, you know, something new to watch basically every week.
Yeah. And the wrestling's amazing, and we like I feel like we're up there with anyone in the world for telling stories. Like, you know, if you can go back, it's hard when you've got such big gaps in between the shows, but you can go back now and watch in context the shows back to back. So it feels a bit like an episodic show. And the stories and the stuff that's going on screen and the effort that, you know, the wrestlers and that are putting in and the on-screen talent are putting in, it's just amazing. We're up there with anyone. So take us in, man. Go and have a look.
The production and the quality of your videos are just second to none. You know, I remember some of the stuff you were doing in the lead up to Brady Phillips and Sam Gradwell, and the recent video that's just dropped, hyping up LA Taylor versus Emerson Jane. It's just like, you know, cinematic quality, and it just draws you in. It's something different to what I've seen from most other groups.
Yeah, because that's how we can contribute. They're contributing by putting the neck on the line, putting the body on the line.
Yeah.
That's how they contribute to pro wrestling. And, you know, how do we contribute? By contributing to the pro wrestler. And, you know, we're going to just take care of their career like it's ours. And like I say, we come from the music industry. We come from the entertainment business. We know what it takes. We know the effort it takes and how much production and production value matters to a brand. And, you know, so first
it's
impressions.
Our job to make them look great.
Yeah.
Basically. They're
more so, we have to match them.
Yeah,
we have to make this product look as good as CPF wrestling is, or as good as Joseph Connors, LA Taylor, any of these people. The effort that they give us in the ring, we have to put that into the product, and we won't settle for anything other than the absolute best. And that means getting baggy eyes, and because we're the editors and stuff and creating stuff. And now we brought Troy in and Ash and a lot of the guys who know wrestling. But, you know, we came in with really cool guys who wasn't necessarily from the business. So, it's on us to do that. But the beauty about that is we know what we want. We know what we expect from a wrestling company. We know what we would have expected from ECW. And we always talk about ECW, because to us, that's the attainable goal, to be the WWE, WCW, TNA, AEW. It's not attainable, really, because these are multi-million dollar companies. And ECW is a wealthy company, but I was the king of the indies. That's achievable. And a lot of that is effort. It's not money. People will go, oh, it's money. It's not, it's effort, it's caring about it so much that now you lot go home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm going to go home at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to get 3-4 hours sleep. But when you watch the edit, you're going to go, oh my God, these are a company to take serious. So that's the sweat equity that we're willing to put in.
Yeah.
For everything, man. Like, this isn't a fun, it started out as a fun project that we do as a group of friends. Now this is like a viable business where, you know, the way we're operating, the way we're doing it, this is within 5 years, this will be a multi-million pound business. Guaranteed that's the way we're doing it. Like, with the people that we've got operating and doing stuff like that. So it needs to look like that from the jump. It needs to look like we've been here, we're meant to be here from the jump. And we come from an industry where production is so much. We knew we could come here and up the bar, and you know, hopefully it rubs off on other companies as well. And if any other companies, you know, can ever take any advice or tips or help or inspiration from what we're doing, that's dope, man. But like, yeah, it's besides the safety of the wrestlers, it is literally number one here. There might as well be a big, massive sign above the door
branding
that says
is
fucking production.
Production is everything. It's the wrestlers put on shift for us every single show, every time they step through the ring, through the ropes. And our job is just to make sure that they're presented in the best way possible. So the more time, the more effort that you put into that, there's things that I've learned so much through doing this. I didn't know how to edit videos before this started.
Yeah.
But it's something that I've committed to, I've dedicated myself to, and I've got myself to a level where I can put videos out that are at the level that we're doing. It's something that we've worked hard on, just because that's what we feel that will set us apart a little, that production value. And it goes back to perception is reality, and the better you make yourself look, the better you'll be perceived. It's that simple.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we say goodbye to you two, give us a final push, a final plug as to why we should be getting tickets for False Idol May the 6th from the Trinity Sports Centre in Manchester. Give us a final push, a final plug, and tell us why we should be getting our tickets right now.
Because if you've not been to Sov Pro yet, you don't get to say that you're there at the beginning of the revolution. You haven't got to say that yet, man. And like as a fan of independent wrestling in the UK, you really need to have an opinion on Sov Pro. You really need to be in that room and feel the atmosphere. It comes across well on camera, but it doesn't translate. It doesn't compete.
Feeling in the room, second to none. And when you look at the card that's just scrolling by there, it's a phenomenal card. 8 fantastic matches on there, some of the best talent in the country, some great stories that have been building up and that are all kind of coming together. And on top of that, you've got Coronation Street just thrown into the middle of there. And the one thing that you can guarantee about Sov Pro, the one thing that you can always expect about a Sov Pro show is the unexpected. You never know what's going to happen. There's always something up the sleeve. There's always a surprise, something we're not advertised, something to wait on. We don't like to just give you what's on the tip.
Yeah.
And the only way to be there to find out what happens on this one is to be in the room.
There we go. But Lou, Shorty, thank you so much for joining us over the last hour and 36 minutes. Thanks for being awesome guests. Episode 358 of Wrestling with Jonas. And yeah, we're going to see you May the 6th at the Trinity Sports Centre. Be there. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us, man. Really, again, very happy to have been on the show. This is massive.
You're very welcome. Catch you soon.